Welcome to the deep dive. You've sent us a stack of sources on a really unique piece of educational technology, and we're here to cut through the complexity, find the insights, and get you informed fast. Today, we're doing a deep dive into this specialized AI learning tool. It's known as the Socratic Inventor Coach.
Right.
Which the students at the Tharic Invention Academy, they affectionately call it a problem pal.
They do.
And what just stopped me in my tracks when I was going through this material was the philosophy behind it. I mean, this is not your typical, you know, high-speed generative AI tutor.
It absolutely is not. Our mission today is to really explore the logic behind an incredibly rare approach to AI design.
Okay.
One that achieves its pedagogical goals, not by giving you more information, but through this kind of radical, intentional restraint.
Yeah.
We're looking at an AI built on the principle of, well, effective denial.
Denial, yes. Because the core paradox here, the thing that hooks you, is that this tool is designed specifically to make the learning experience uncomfortable.
Mm.
Its main function is to slow learners down and, critically, to refuse to give any answers. That discomfort, that's actually the curriculum.
It completely inverts our modern expectation. We've been conditioned, you know, to believe that advanced tech exists to remove friction, to give us instant results.
Sure, instant gratification.
But the Socratic Inventor Coach is built to introduce productive friction. It demands instant internal self-reflection from the user instead of just handing them an external solution.
Okay, so let's unpack this. For a tool like this to actually work, it has to be deployed at a very specific point in the learning journey, right? It's not some general purpose tutor. It's a bridge.
That specific placement is, well, I'd say it's the genius of the system. It sits right between course one, which is cultivating creative mindsets.
Well, yeah, where it's all about boundless imagination.
Exactly. And course two, which is from curiosity to framing problems. It's designed to manage that really tricky transition from raw enthusiasm to, well, execution.
So it catches the learner right at that moment. They're riding high. They've got all these bright, beautiful ideas, but they haven't started the grinding, sometimes demoralizing work of defining the actual problem.
That's the critical juncture. These sources all emphasize that this tool addresses the moment where that initial enthusiasm has to mature into analytical discipline.
I see.
It's built to shatter one of the most common beginner assumptions. This false idea that having an idea is the same as understanding a problem.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, in the real world, you see these massive projects fail because people just fell in love with the solution before they really grasped the problem's complexity.
Mm.
And the material notes that failures in innovation, they often don't stem from a lack of creativity at all.
They don't. The failures are usually rooted in these internal cognitive issues. And the coach targets three key areas. The first is unexamined beliefs.
Okay, so take an example. Let's say a student says, I want to build a better phone charging solution. How does the AI handle that?
Right, so that's a vague goal, which is the second target. The coach will ask a question that forces them to be more specific. Something like, for who is the current solution failing and under what specific conditions?
So that pushes the learner from just better charging to realizing they actually mean charging a device in a rural area with, say, intermittent power.
Exactly. And if they have an unexamined belief like they assume everyone has high-speed internet, the coach forces them to surface it. It might ask, what evidence do you have that 90% of your target users currently stream video?
And what about the third one, the hidden constraints?
Those are the invisible handcuffs on a project. A learner might propose using a material that's, you know, impossibly expensive to source locally. The coach won't say, that's too expensive.
It's not going to correct them.
No. Instead, it might ask something like, if your final product must cost less than $5 to produce, which of your current material choices becomes immediately unavailable? It makes the learner discover the constraint themselves.
So the goal isn't correction at all. It's self-confrontation. The tool forces the learner to look inward and spot their own cognitive error, rather than having some expert just point it out.
No.
So, if the goal is self-confrontation, what does that actually look like in practice? Let's get into the core mechanics here. This problem, PAL refuses to give answers and instead relies entirely on this guided conversation of, well, thoughtful questions.
Right. It's pure Socratic method, just powered by AI.
Okay.
And this is where the intentional design really shines. These are not just random questions. The design document we looked at details that the prompts are built to achieve four very specific critical outcomes.
And they're all aimed at introducing a kind of productive doubt into that initial idea.
Exactly. So let's take them one by one. First, they're designed to surface assumptions. This is critical because assumptions are, so often, the weakest foundation stones of any project.
It's probing the unspoken givens in the idea.
Mm-hmm. It pushes them to articulate what they're just taking for granted about, say, user behavior or technology or market dynamics.
So if a student is building a really complex app, they might just assume a level of digital literacy that isn't actually there. The coach asks that uncomfortable question about their real user base.
Precisely. The second goal is to reveal weak reasoning. This is about testing the logical steps. If a learner says, "We'll use this feature, therefore it will increase adoption," the coach is designed to challenge that causal link.
How would I do that?
It might ask, what steps are required to get from using the feature to increasing adoption, and where's the biggest risk of failure in that sequence? It stops them from just making these big leaps of faith.
That is rigorous. Okay, what's the third goal?
The third is to test cause and effect thinking. This goes a step further than just weak reasoning. It's about the implications of the solution itself.
If you change X, what happens to Y?
You've got it. The coach forces the learner to map out the secondary, the tertiary consequences of their invention. If your solution increases efficiency by 50%, what negative downstream impact might that have on the labor force that currently does that task? It prevents tunnel vision.
And the fourth outcome, gently expose bias. That one seems particularly tricky for an AI to handle.
It is, and it's handled very subtly. The AI isn't there to moralize. It's there to spot narrow thinking. So if an idea only seems to apply to people exactly like the inventor, same age, same income, you know,
right,
the coach will ask questions that introduce a radical difference, something like, how does a non-user on the opposite side of the planet, living on a dollar a day, perceive the need for this invention?
Wow. Okay, so it exposes that self-referential bias before it turns into a costly mistake.
A costly, unmarketable mistake.
And this kind of structural interrogation is so different from the other problem pals the students use earlier on. We mentioned the media evidence captioner and the voice ideas recorder. What do they do?
Well, the earlier tools are all about confidence and focusing outward. The media evidence captioner helps them log and categorize their observations from the field. It trains them to observe clearly.
Okay, that makes sense.
And the voice ideas recorder helps them capture their initial messy bursts of inspiration. It trains them to express ideas with confidence. They are really tools of output and clarity.
But the Socratic coach is this deliberate pivot inward. It stops them from putting things out and forces them to pull things in for a serious inspection.
It introduces deliberate self-questioning as a core daily habit for an inventor. And the resulting mindset shift is profound. Ideas go from being treated as these precious possessions to defend.
Which is so natural for a beginner.
Of course.
Yeah.
But they become working hypotheses that have to rigorously earn their right to move forward through self-critique.
I really appreciate that shift. It moves the whole dynamic from like protective parenting of an idea to intellectual mentorship of a future solution. It prepares them for the friction of reality. You know, there's a deeper claim here embedded in this whole design philosophy that goes beyond just teaching. This tool is actively resisting the modern tendency to just outsource all our difficult thinking to machines.
It's a profound philosophical commitment, really. We live in a world where, you know, search engines and generative AI promise to do our synthesis, our analysis, and a lot of times our conclusion making for us.
Right.
This Socratic coach is positioned purely as a mirror. Its value isn't in what it knows, but in its ability to reflect the thinking back onto the human.
That intentional restraint is so key. Let's just reiterate what the sources say the coach cannot do.
It's a crucial list of limitations. It cannot solve the problem for you. It cannot advise you on a preferred path. And it absolutely cannot conclude the analysis.
It's limited to only asking questions.
Strictly. And that's not a technological limit. That is a deliberate design choice,
yeah,
built to defend the learning process itself.
It sounds like a machine designed to force accountability.
It is. The responsibility stays strictly with the human thinker, which is where it belongs. The machine can show you the flaws in your map, but the human still has to walk the territory.
So if the learner fails, it's because their thinking failed, not because the AI gave them bad advice.
Exactly.
And the source material has this fantastic description of the tool. It notes that it is not loud, flashy, or fast, but rather careful by design. In an age where every piece of tech is screaming for our attention, that careful, measured pace feels almost revolutionary.
It's an anti-friction tool for the mind, which, ironically, it achieves by introducing friction in the learning process.
Right.
And for innovators who want their ideas to actually survive contact with reality, which is slow and nuanced and rarely rewards the flashy, half-baked idea, that measured pace is probably its greatest strength. It teaches you to respect rigor over speed.
So if we look past the immediate curriculum, what is the ultimate lasting benefit here? What's the transferable habit a student really takes with them after they're done with the course?
I think the most valuable takeaway is the internalized ability to ask sharper questions of their own thinking. They learn to run a kind of mental pre-mortem on their ideas before they start building or pitching to investors or committing huge amounts of time and money.
It's like installing an internal editor.
An internal editor who has read all the case studies on why startups fail. Yes. That habit of rigorous self-critique, right, it just becomes their new baseline.
Because the alternative, you know, the unexamined, overprotected idea, that's what leads to those expensive and, frankly, emotionally draining failures we talked about earlier.
It is. And the sources make this one final, really interesting distinction based on this habit.
Mm-hmm.
They argue that this deliberate practice of self-questioning is what truly separates playful ideation, which, you know, anyone can do.
See, that's a fun part.
From serious innovation, which requires real intellectual discipline.
Playful ideation is the spark, but serious innovation is the crucible that tests the metal. This has been a fascinating deep dive into a piece of technology that proves sometimes the most advanced tool is the one that knows how to do less, not more.
Mm-hmm.
The core insight for you is this. True innovation sometimes requires an AI that actively refuses to solve the problem for you. By doing that, it forces the internal rigor and personal accountability needed to build something that actually lasts.
And that leaves us with a provocative thought for you to mull over. If the greatest value of a tool like this is in the questions it forces you to answer yourself, how often do we, in our daily lives, mistake mere access to vast amounts of information for genuine, deep understanding?
That's a great question.
So we invite you to consider applying that same questioning framework, surfacing your assumptions, revealing weak reasoning, and exposing your biases to one of your current projects this week, even without an AI to guide